Welcome to the Smarticle Podcast, where we take a good article and make it gooder.
Okay, it's Faithful Fridays, Brandon. Time for us to take it down a couple of levels and just really get into the flow of what the universe is trying to teach us. I always appreciate Faith Fridays so much so that I'd put on a nice shirt for today's edition of the Faithful Fridays, Brandon.
Well, thank you for doing that, Larry. And as I always say, I don't know if God really requires you to get very low and calm about your reflection. Maybe you should be doing that all the time. But you know what? I'll take what I can get.
Well, Brandon, thank you for trying to teach me early on this Faithful Edition
Sure.
Friday. We're going through a series called Powerlessness from the Center of Action and Contemplation, CAC.org. Richard Rohr and his good friends over there. This is a post from a recent meditation called The Power of Admitting. James Finley said this. He's talking about AA and the 12 steps. We begin with the first step. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol and that our lives had become unmanageable. The first step then is admitting. I would like to reflect on the transformative power of admitting. This is the thing about recovering community in all different modes. See, if you admit, you're admitted. If you don't admit, you're not admitted. And if you admit, you live. And if you don't admit, you might die. So what is it that makes admitting so extremely painful? And the very thing that's so painful is the very thing that saves our lives. It would seem that the act of admitting is a great koan or a great riddle in our heart worth meditating on. It is this transformative point of entry that leads us ever deeper into the sobriety that we're exploring. Brandon, admitting.
Wow. He's talking about the paradox of the fact that it's like the Chinese finger puzzle. Do you ever do one of those where the
yes.
tighter you pull it, the harder it
Great
clicks?
Great example.
Right?
Great example.
Is that it's counterintuitive to the way we think. And I think that Rohr at the Center for Action and Contemplation, as opposed to the Center of Action and Contemplation,
excuse me,
is pushing at this idea, Rohr and others like him, to talk about the ego. That the ego is an important thing. We build up an ego to have self-esteem, to feel good about ourselves, to work hard, to be a good
Which
person.
Which is useful at some point.
It is useful, absolutely. But it also becomes an impediment to our own growth as a person because our ego says, I figured it all out. Talk to a 20-year-old. I have an 18-year-old nephew, and it's like the dude knows everything there is to know about everything.
Yes.
And it's that famous Mark Twain quote, when I was 20, I couldn't believe how dumb my father was. By the time I was 25, I couldn't believe how much the old man had learned. It's that I look at my life when I'm 18, 19 years old. I thought I knew everything, and everybody above me was an idiot, a dope. Now, as a old man in his 50s, I realize, holy cow, there are days where I'm like, I don't know anything. I truly don't know anything. Because I've gone through life enough to see that some of the things that you hold true are just not true. I had a friend recently tell me that they were diagnosed with cancer. And it was as you know, my brother Damon died of cancer. Cancer is one of those things where it's just, I think it's the worst of all diseases because it's just, I'm just saying.
You recently declared dementia the worst, but go on.
Okay, dementia's bad, but it's in the same boat of like, wow, you could do nothing in your life wrong and all of a sudden you've got this thing. Right. That gets
yes.
you. And it always comes out of nowhere. No one expects it, but it's just this horrible thing. But my point is admitting that you don't have control over the world and sometimes even your own body is freeing, right? You can go through a cancer diagnosis and survive it healthier by saying, hey, man, I'm just going to do the best I can because there was this great movie back in the day. I can't remember the name. This was called The Doctor or something. And it was about this world-class surgeon who was a complete and absolute dick. He was rude to his patients. He was a jerk. I think he won an Academy Award. And he is diagnosed with cancer. And the whole movie is about how he realizes how he didn't understand anything. He thought he knew everything. He didn't know anything. And I think that's what this reading is about. And I think at its core, that's what Rohr is all about. It's this idea of letting go of our ego, letting go of thinking that we know the answers to everything and just letting be, for lack of a better way to put it.
So you would know this better than me about confession in the Catholic Church. which I want you to explain in 1 second, because I feel like that's what this is about. For me personally, I was early in my marriage, there was a gal coming on to me at my work.
Oh.
It was kind of coming on to me a lot. And I was like, yeah, this is, and she was like young and attractive. And I simply told, I actually told Tim after a men's group, I said, hey man, I just want to let somebody know that this is happening at work. The minute I said it, the minute I confessed it, it went away. It was if I just put it on the table. I feel like that's what you're doing in confession with the Catholic Church. You go so that whatever you're struggling and bothering you, you just confess it and it doesn't have power anymore.
Well, absolutely. And that's the idea of the confessional, right? Is that we, you know, the scripture says we to confess our sins one to another, right? That we confess to each other our sins, not because we want people to judge us or we're bad. And that's the problem. That's why people don't want to confess, because they feel like they're chastised or they're punished for being
honest. And in life,
like
we don't want to admit that we're powerless because we want to think, oh, well, I did it.
Right. Or we don't want people to know that we didn't do it. Mm. And I think that the confessional says there is a person on the other side of that window that is listening to our confession of our separation from God. And they cannot absolve us from that. But what they can do is they can be a listening ear for that. A great priest will say, you know, they'll say, hey, they'll give you a great priest will give you some way to work through that. A lot of times they'll say, hey, you know, pray the Our Father, do the rosary or whatever it is, which in its purest form is really beautiful. It's a meditative process of moving through this thing that I'm confessing right now. A lot of people kind of mistake that as like the priest is interceding for us with God. No, the priest is just simply being a confessional ear for us so that we could do just what you said. We can sort of lay that down. I think in Taizé is another great example. When you go to a Taizé service, which I know you've been to, Larry, because we've gone together, they set the cross down and people walk up to the cross and they lay themselves on the cross. And the idea of sort of a metaphoric laying down the sins of their life or the troubles of their life or the worries of their life on the cross. And then you get up, and every time I do it, every single time I do it, I feel freer once I've gone up and done that. There's something very powerful about that. Now, I'm not confessing that to another human being, but I am confessing that in public by laying my sins down on the cross. So I agree with you 100%.
So back to your analogy of the 18-year-old that says, your nephew who says he knows it all and has it all figured out. And that's because he doesn't, and he's pretending that he knows it all because he's trying to figure it out. And juxtapose that to me and you, where we're 50-year-old men, where we confess we don't know everything because we've kind of more figured it out.
Yeah, that's the irony, right? Is that I feel like I probably do know more than the average 18-year-old. But it's what do you know? You know a lot of people that are older people that continue to, you talk about it and reference them all the time on the show, people that continue to do the same dumb stuff. They continue to believe in the same nonsense. They continue to do whatever they're doing, even though they're of an age where they should know better.
And like right in the middle of that to me is evangelical Christians.
Ooh, here we go.
Who like
bingo
bang
point
on the gays and bang on the transgenders. They're afraid of it because they don't know who they are. So they have to project onto something else. Like the more you know who you are, the more the periphery stuff the less it outrages you.
Yeah, you look at it and say, that has no effect on my life. You're able to look at that person and say, I could pray for you. I can appreciate you just as who you are. I was thinking today about how oftentimes I get grumpy about people driving and whatever, and I judge them. I'm like, oh, they're a bad driver, or they're old, or they're this or they're that. And I'm like, well, you know the reason I do that? No, but you know the reason I do that? I can't speak to anybody else. Is because in that moment, I'm not loving myself. I don't like something about myself because I don't know that person. Why would I pass judgment on them? Because ultimately what I'm passing judgment on is the activity that they're doing that I don't like in myself. So the more I could say in that moment, no, dude, you are worth loving and you are okay, even when you're doing something stupid in your mind, right? And so I think that's that power of admitting. It's that idea of like, man, I'm a broken, hot mess. But in that broken hot messness is freedom. And I think that's why I have come to Father Rohr in a sense of have come to this sort of teaching and finding a great source of appreciation. I know there was others. For me, it was Henri Nouwen. And there's a great scene in this book, The Ragamuffin Gospel by Brennan Manning.
Ah, thank you.
Where he talks about he's an alcoholic,
Preach.
Right? He was a priest who had this great career, and then he became an alcoholic and he's living on the streets. He gets into recovery and he's at an AA meeting. And there's this great scene. I've probably shared it before. I'm sure I've told you this, where they're, you know, at these meetings, they talk about, I guess there's a person that's in charge of each meeting, and they get up there and says, hey, you know, my name's Sally, and today we're going to talk about, you know, how to balance your checkbook, unless anybody has anything to say. And Manning said he's in the back making coffee, and everybody, I guess people have coffee and smokes or whatever, and it's part of the ritual of the AA meeting, right? And so they're sitting there, is anybody got anything? And some guy stands up who's been coming to these meetings forever. He's like, hey, my name's Bob. I'm alcoholic. Hey, Bob. He goes, I was sober for, I don't know, 20 years. I went to a family reunion last weekend. I got drunk and I was drunk for 4 straight days and then stopped talking. And Manning said that the room went into silence. So much so that he had to unplug the coffee pot because it was too silent in the room. And he said that it was like a moment of time where people kind of were just sitting there in just silence. And then all of a sudden in mass, the whole room got up and came and surrounded this guy as he wept, because every person in that room knew what it was like to be that dude. Even if they had not slipped and had not had recidivism in their own life, they understood how precarious it is. So there was no judgment on him. And I loved that. I love that scene, that there's no judgment on you. That's what this is. By admitting, you remove judgment from yourself. You're like, man, yeah, guess what? I am a disaster. I admit it. You go ahead and judge me all you want. There's no worse judge on myself than me, and I'm admitting it. I'm giving it over. That's what that idea of giving this stuff over to God is so powerful.
Brennan, I'd like to admit to you that I really enjoyed today's Faithful Friday.